Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
What biblical concept mentioned over and over again in the Gospels and found in all of the old hymn books that are in our churches, what concept is it that we have overlooked today that is so totally foreign to us now that we will be shocked when we hear it? Find out in just a few minutes.
Oh,
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Sky's Revival Radio. We're glad you joined us today. Now, in answer to your wondering about what biblical concept has become so foreign to us today that we will be shocked when we hear it, we're going to continue our study of the book of Hebrews, and during the course of this, we are going to come to this shocking revelation. Now, we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11 today, verses 24 through 26, which says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." In the last lessons, we covered certain changes that have been made between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And this is what the book of Hebrews is largely about, distinguishing between the Old Covenant and the New, because he was addressing Hebrew Christians who had thousands of years of history with the Old Covenant and who were very, very suspicious of entering into a New Covenant. They were very concerned that they might be doing something wrong. So the writer of Hebrews is going on at great length to discuss the New Covenant and why it replaces the old and why it was so necessary. We covered some of those changes in the last lessons. If you missed them, you can simply Google Sky's Revival Radio, go to lessons 47, 48, and 49. There are two primary changes that have been made between the Old Covenant and the New. The Old Covenant was outward and it did not affect the heart, so that people were largely unchanged by the Word of God. The New Covenant is all about receiving a new heart from God and becoming new creatures in Christ that love the things of God, that love the ways of God and the laws of God. The other change is that the earthly reward that is promised in the Old Covenant has been replaced by a heavenly reward. In the Old Testament, there were certain promises of earthly blessing that would follow obedience to the covenant. They would be blessed in their income, in their fields, in their produce, in their families, and it was an earthly reward. Now we see, as Jesus instituted the new covenant, that he spoke extensively about a heavenly reward, and with the heavenly reward and the promise of peace and joy on earth, he promised great tribulation, difficulty, and hardship. This is a major change and one that practically no one is familiar with today. This is one of the concepts that is in all the old hymn books that cannot be hardly even heard today. As we read about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, who is the father of faith, we see he is looking for a heavenly city where his reward was. Abraham is the one who represented the new covenant and the new covenant promises. He was the father of those who would believe. And he saw nothing of the magnificent promises of God while he was still on earth. He was told that he would be given all the land of Canaan and be the father of nations, but instead he lived in tents and only had one son of promise with Sarah, one, and Sarah, who was promised to be the mother of Israel, had only one son. Abraham saw no fulfillment of the promise in the natural, during his lifetime. And it says in Hebrews 11:10, "For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Now, why this is so significant to us is that we are always and forever looking for our city here and now, not content to follow in the steps of the father of faith who was looking for a city not made by human hands. We want to have our city right now. We have our own flesh and desires which look for all earthly pleasures and comfort. And mixed with that, we have corrupt teaching, a new gospel, promising us all of our heart's desire right here now on earth. And this puts us into a mindset that is contrary to the gospel and puts us in the mindset of being dissatisfied with anything less than the fulfillment of all of our heart's desires now. Well, if Abraham were a part of the church today, he'd have been driving out the inhabitants of the land by faith, and he'd have been building cities. He'd have been working hard and believing for the earthly fulfillment of his desires. He would have been proclaiming and speaking things into existence. But instead, since he was the model of things to come, which were in the new covenant, his kingdom was a heavenly kingdom. His city was a heavenly city. It was God's fulfillment, God's way. And I know this is hard for our modern ears to listen to because we're so geared toward having everything we want now. But we see that while Abraham was on earth, he suffered great disappointment and no fulfillment in the natural. But this he had. He pressed into God in his grief and clung to God in his disappointment, and as a result was called the friend of God. And that phrase, friend of God, is the heart of the new covenant. That is what God is doing in the new covenant. He's raising up friends that love him deeply in the midst of all trials and difficulties. The trials prove our love. Any of the religions of the world or even atheists would love our God if by seeking him, all blessings would be poured out on their lives, riches, honor, fulfillment of their dreams. In fact, that's why so many megachurches are now blending with these world religions. It's very palatable to the religions of the world, but to love our God under great distress without any earthly kingdom, simply because we have seen the beauty of his character and love him for the person he is, this is love indeed. Not only is this unpalatable to all the world, it is unpalatable to many leaders of the Christian church. Take away their honor, take away their fame, take away their wealth and their paycheck. Many would flee their post. In sharp contrast to this, we see Moses choosing to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of the world. Moses had a tough choice before him. On one hand, he had the whole world laid out before him. He was of the royal house of Egypt. He had all honor and glory. If you want to get a picture of what Moses was living like before God touched him, read the historian Josephus. Read the account of Moses. It's a staggering account. He was a very, very notable general and had great honor. And the other choice that Moses had was a life wandering in the desert, stripped of all the pleasures of this life. And so he had on one hand honor and riches and glory, and on the other he had choosing to follow God in the wilderness with nothing. He chose to follow God. God is not found in wealth and ease, but he is found in the wilderness. So we, the people of God, must also be prepared to endure ill treatment. And more than that, it says he endured the same reproach that Jesus suffered. That is, he endured great criticism and humiliation. Instead of the honor he had in Egypt, he suffered mockery. And this is a great stumbling block to many. We're all about being Christians until someone makes fun of us or mocks us or criticizes us or rejects us or speaks evil of us. And then it's too much to bear. So we quietly lay down our boldness. We no longer speak about Jesus. We want to be silent witnesses. Jesus says, the world will hate us, but we must do as Paul did and consider the reproach of the world as nothing compared to the riches of knowing Christ. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So as we serve a master who is utterly rejected by the world, as we identify ourselves with him, we will be rejected as well. And then we must choose, like Moses did. Will we choose the approval of the world, or will we choose the narrow way of following Jesus and being rejected by the world? These are the two choices before us. There is no blending of these two paths. This is part of the new gospel. It is a blending that we can have the world and the approval of the world and still have the approval of God. But we see this is not the case. We have to choose between the approval of the world and the approval of God. This is where our love for God is tested. This is where we become true lovers of God, or we remain worldlings. This is where our love is tested. If we can bear criticism, rejection, and difficulty of all sort, and still retain our love for God, that is love indeed. This is the love that produces friends of God. This is the greatest title that anyone could ever aspire to, that we would be known as Abraham was. Abraham, my friend. This is what God is trying to do in the new covenant. He is trying to raise up his friends, that he would call you his friend. This can only be had as we love him through great hardship, through great trial, through great rejection. This is the only way our love can be found to be real. This is new covenant living. And I told you it would be shocking when you heard this message because it is so foreign to us today. We are so all about the here and now, having the approval of everybody, but we see that in the Gospels, in the New Testament, in the Bible, everywhere, it talks about serving God in the face of great hardship. If you go to any of the hymn books of the old churches, you will find that this is what makes up the hymns. It's all about turning to God in spite of the rejection of the world, seeking after the Lord in the midst of great hardship. This is the old-fashioned gospel. This is what produces old-fashioned revival. This is what gets us excited about working night and day for revival, that people might understand that serving God in hardship is what produces the love of God. And there's nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing that compares with the love of God and loving God. We must come to that point where we say, in the face of calamity and disaster and rejection and hatred and slander, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, teach us. Help us to seek after a heavenly city, a city whose architect and builder is God. Help us to look to the reward as you did, Jesus. Help us to store up treasure in heaven instead of on earth, where it will just perish in a few short years. Help us to seek a treasure that is imperishable. Help us to choose, like Moses did, to suffer rejection with you, Jesus, instead of being cowardly when people criticize us for following you. Help us to be bold witnesses. Help us to choose you over everything. Help us to have a single eye for the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please call us or email us with any comments or questions or any prayer needs so that we can join with you in prayer. We want to be in fellowship with you. Thank you for being part of this revival work. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
The people who walk in the darkness, they will see a great light. And those who dwell in dark depression, the light it will shine on them. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, to peace.
covenant. There'll be no end of it.